Our current series, which is titled The 12, is a series looking at the lives of the 12 apostles. And the apostle that I have the opportunity to speak about is the apostle Andrew. And one of the places that we find out something about him is in the passage that you can find in your printed program from the first chapter of John. We'll be reading verses 35 through 42. And we read there, "The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, 'What are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' He said to them, 'Come and you will see.' So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed Jesus was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah,' which means Christ. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, the son of John. You shall be called Cephas,' which means Peter." Well, this is the fourth week of this series. And if you've been here, you know the order in which these apostles have been unfolding as we've looked at them. And so far, we've looked at Peter or Simon. We've looked at James. And then John, who was James's brother. And this really is a good first three to consider, for those are the three that are usually viewed as Jesus' inner circle amongst his 12 disciples. They were the ones that Jesus, on occasion, would have taken aside and done different things with. For example, they were the three who he took with him when he went up on what we know as the Mount of Transfiguration. And he's also they are also the three that he took with him to the Garden of Gethsemane as he prayed and wrestled with what lay ahead of him on the cross. And there are other settings where those were the three who he took aside and clearly could be called his inner circle. But on a few occasions, we discover that that inner circle, at least temporarily, seemed to expand to four. And it would have included today's person, and that is Andrew. Andrew, who was the brother of Peter. For example, there was one time Jesus visited the home of Peter and Andrew and took with him James and John, and it was Jesus with those four. That can be found in Mark chapter 1. And then towards the end of Jesus' ministry, he took the four aside and spoke to them, we're told, privately about the signs of the end of time. But actually, meeting with this four on the surface might have seemed the most natural thing to expect. And why would that be the case? Well, just for general purposes, they were two sets of brothers. James and John were brothers, and Peter and Andrew were brothers. But more than that, they were from the same village. There is some reason to think that they would have been lifelong companions of each other. And then on top of that, we know that they shared the same vocation. They were all fishermen, and it's indicated that they actually may have been in the fishing business together. So humanly speaking, the four fit together quite naturally. And on occasion, as we've just pointed out, Jesus met with those four, but for the most part, Andrew was outside the inner circle. And in this providential way, Andrew found himself once again in the shadow of his brother. I say once again because it's almost a certain fact that Andrew would have lived in the shadow of his brother Peter. Peter, who clearly had a strong, dominant sort of personality. He was dominant among the 12 apostles. And it's really easy, I think, to assume that he would have been dominant in his family mix, that he would have been dominant among his siblings, which would have included Andrew. And then in verse 40 of this passage, and it's not the only place, it's worded this way, Andrew is identified as Simon Peter's brother, and not the other way around. Bruce Milne is an author, has written books and commentaries, and he says this, his, that is Andrew's, relationship to Peter was his means of identification. Andrew is not alone. Many lives are lived in the shadow of another, whether a sibling, a rival, a colleague, or even a parent. However regrettable, it is a fact of daily experience for multitudes. It is good to be assured, even when the overshadowing is not dispelled with the passing of the years, as in Andrew's case, that God does not value one life more highly than another. He has no favorites. And it's what we, actually, that's what we see, I think, in today's passage. Andrew never becomes that sort of dominant person that his brother was. But he does become a valuable follower of Jesus Christ. He becomes a valuable apostle. And we will see a life that really did make a difference. And we are given just enough glimpse of him in the New Testament to know that this is the case. And what we will see, mostly from our passage from today, is that Andrew was, first of all, a searcher. And that, second of all, he was a person who did care for his brother. And then we'll see that Andrew was a connector. Well, first of all, that Andrew was a searcher. We know that among the Jews of his day, there were those who had an active messianic expectation. They would have been the Jews who were familiar with their scriptures and the promises that are found there, that the day would come that God would send the Messiah. And these folks believe that that day, in some respects, might be imminent. And it appears that Andrew was among those. And I think we can say this because we know that Andrew was willing to leave his work, to leave his nets, and to go into the wilderness, to go into the hills beyond the Sea of Galilee. And it was there that he found John the Baptist, and found John the Baptist preaching his message of repentance. And the Bible tells us that large crowds went out to hear John the Baptist, large crowds believing that John the Baptist was a man sent by God, crowds that were searching for something, and crowds that included Andrew undoubtedly searching for something. And as he was in the wilderness searching for something and listening to John the Baptist, what is it that happened? Well, our passage tells us that Andrew was standing with John the Baptist, along with another disciple who was undoubtedly John, who was the writer of the gospel. And as they were standing there, Jesus walks by. And John looks at Jesus and says, "Behold the Lamb of God." A life-changing experience began to unfold that day for Andrew. And Andrew, along with the other disciple, followed Jesus and spent the day with him. And it must have been an absolutely amazing day for him. Andrew, along with the other disciple, would have followed him. And it would have been on that day that Jesus discovered the object of his search. He had found the Messiah. Well, in Matthew chapter 13, a little jump here, we find two very short parables. In fact, they are so short that two parables are given to us in three verses. And they, I think, describe and reflect within them what happened to Andrew. And in those three verses, this is what we read. "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure found in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who in finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. In these two parables, we have a treasure that is discovered by a man in a field, and we have a pearl of great value who is found by a merchant. And the treasure and the pearl of great value are really one and the same thing. They are Jesus. They are the gospel about Jesus. But there is one difference between these two stories. In one, a man makes what is undoubtedly a surprise discovery of a treasure in a field. He wasn't looking for a treasure, but he finds it. But in the other, there is a merchant who has been out searching, and he eventually finds what it was he was looking for, that pearl of great value. And these are pictures really of two different ways that people come to discover Jesus Christ. Some are not searching for answers. They do not feel like they need a key to life and what it is about. If anything, they are actually fleeing that discovery. Yet in spite of that, they unexpectedly discover the answer to life, that is Jesus. And that certainly, I think, is some of our own stories. We weren't in a great search. We were following our own paths of unbelief when the Lord intervened and made the discovery of all discoveries come our way. And we found Jesus enter into our lives. But then there are those who know something is missing in their lives, and they can taste it deep within themselves. That's something that will fill the void that is present deep within them. And they are those who do go searching. And that was Andrew. He was like the merchant who was looking for the pearl of great value. And he followed John the Baptist, wondering if he might find it there. But the day came when he and the other disciples, as they stood there with John the Baptist, and as Jesus walked by, and they heard the words of John the Baptist saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God." Andrew found what he was searching for. He found his pearl of great value, and his life was never the same. So Andrew was a searcher, but we go on to see that in spite of the dynamics of his relationship with his brother, Peter, we go on to see that Andrew also cared about his brother, and we discover that in verse 41 of our passage, where we read, "He," that is Andrew, "first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, 'We have found the Messiah.'" If there was any doubt about how Andrew coped with his being second fiddle to his brother, it is dispelled in this verse. We have all had the occasion of something important taking place in our lives. It could be really anything. It might be going to a very important job interview. And when we leave that interview, there is something we will do first, and it is usually to find a way to communicate to the person who we want most to know about how it has gone. And we may text, we may call, we may find any way we can to communicate. And in that response, we are reflecting who it is that really is most important to us. And this account seems to go out of its way to mention that the very first thing that Andrew did after his introduction to Jesus was to go and find his brother and tell him the news. And with this instinctive response on Andrew's part, we discover and know for sure his affection for this brother in whose shadow he constantly lived. Well, the cynic might look at this and say, "Well, Andrew did this because he for once was first. He was first to discover the Messiah, and he just wanted to go tell Peter that this time he was first." But there's really no hint of that. In fact, it is quite clear that Andrew was motivated out of a great concern and interest in his brother making the same discovery that he had. And there's a picture of closeness painted here between Andrew and Peter. But I wonder this. I wonder how becoming brothers in Christ affected that relationship. For certainly there is great blessing that can flow from one's human and earthly family. It's clear that Andrew and Peter had such blessings. But there is even greater blessings that flow in our heavenly family. And there is a certain bond that can come from being part of an earthly family. We say that blood is thicker than water. But there is an even closer bond that comes from being brothers in Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ, in a heavenly family. And there might come one day an inheritance that is shared by siblings, an earthly inheritance. But there is an unbelievable inheritance, an eternal inheritance that comes from being children together with our heavenly King as our Father. Many have family members who have yet to discover Jesus. And there's a closeness that you might feel and know with that family member. But more than anything else in the world, you yearn that they might find the way into the heavenly family, that they might know the great blessings and the great bonds that can be had by being in the family of families, the family in which Jesus Christ is our elder brother and God, our heavenly Father. So Andrew was a searcher. He was a person who we clearly see cared about his brother. And now we see that he was also a connector. And what we mean by this is that Andrew seemed to show unusual inclination and giftedness even for connecting people with Jesus. We see this first of all in our passage as he connects his brother Peter to Jesus. And we certainly know the significance that that had in literally all of history. And we recall another time when Jesus had preached along the Sea of Galilee, and he wanted to get away from the crowds, and he went into the mountains. But his plan to get away from the crowds failed, and we are told that large crowds followed him. And Jesus knew that as they traveled together out into the countryside, that these folks were becoming hungry. And he discussed with his disciples about what they might do and the need to feed these people. And what is it that we know happened? Well, we read this. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" And we know that Jesus, we know what Jesus did with those 5 loaves and 2 fish, but it was Andrew who saw the situation and saw what was going on and connected the young boy with Jesus. And one other similar account we read about in the New Testament, it was of some Greeks who wanted to see Jesus. And those Greeks approached Philip, and Philip, rather than going straight to Jesus, went to Andrew. And together, undoubtedly, under Andrew's leadership, said, "Let's go to Jesus." And they went in an attempt to connect these Greek searchers with Jesus. Well, we all know there are people who are good at what we call networking. That's making connections themselves with different people in different situations and what can flow from that. And there's also another type of connecting that some people do, and it's people who are good at connecting people with people. And actually, that's ability, if even a gift, is can be very important in the life of the church as people are connected with people, and the possibility of meaningful relationships can come from it and fellowship within the life of the church. But what we have seen in Andrew is not the connecting of people with people. It's the connecting of people with Jesus. And there is no greater connection that can take place. And there are those who say that the most effective way to see people come to Jesus Christ is through some form of relational connection. I was in high school, and I made some new friends one summer. And from my perspective, I had simply made some new friends. But from God's perspective, it was in fact the hook he used to begin to reel me in to a relationship with him. And it happened as these friends took me to meetings that they attended where stories from the Bible were talked about and stories about Jesus and our need for a Savior. And that is what God used to bring me to Himself. And it began with relationships and friendships. And it's interesting that shortly after the time that Andrew was in the wilderness with John the Baptist, we know that Andrew and Peter must have returned to their nets, must have returned to fishing in the Sea of Galilee. For we read elsewhere in the scriptures that the day came, and likely not very long after being in the wilderness, when Jesus came along, and as they were fishing, he said to them, "Leave your nets and follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And we know that they did leave their nets. And from what we see of Andrew, one can believe that one of the ways that he fulfilled Jesus' prediction about them was by reaching out in relationships and then looking for a way to introduce those people to Jesus Christ. Friendships and relationships that became the hook which the Lord would use to reel people into a relationship with him. And I think it's important to grasp here that almost anyone can be like Andrew in this respect. I've found it actually fascinating for years to watch, in some ways, you and folks of our own church and the variety of people and the variety of ways you have taken advantage of friendships and relationships in the process of seeking to introduce people to Jesus Christ. It could be friendships with neighbors, friendships with work associates, friendships with clerks at drive-through windows and at grocery stores, friendships in all sorts that come from all sorts of settings. But they became relationships that were the starting point for asking the question, how can I introduce this person and connect them to Jesus Christ? And to see the creativity of finding ways to bring them to Bible studies or to introduce them to Christian believers that in their lives they might see and taste a bit of who Jesus is, or to invite them to services in the church, or however it could be done to seek to introduce and connect these people with Jesus. It would appear that Andrew was good at this, and as we have been seeing, and God would have used it in his life. Well, Andrew was a person who clearly lived in the shadows of his brother. But we also see that he was a person who on his own lived a life that actually became a shining light for Jesus Christ. And in his example, we are given someone who we really could seek to emulate. That no matter where it is that we find ourselves in life and where we fit in relationship to this person or that person, wherever it is God has placed us, we too can be a person whose light can shine for Jesus Christ. Well, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for little glimpses into the lives of those whom you called to follow you and serve you. And we rejoice in the variation of personalities and giftedness that we discover there. And we thank you this day for the life of Andrew, who though he lived in the shadow of his brother, was not daunted by that, and sought to be a person who took advantage of who he was, who you made him to be, and sought to be a light and a witness for you in this world. Lord, we thank you for that. May you give us hearts to be just like Andrew. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.